Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning to the human race. Good morning and good day to the planet Earth, to the heavens, the waters above, the waters below. Good morning to our Lord in heaven, Jesus Christ. This is a virtual service. This is a virtual service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon, and I am your brother Dan, and it is November the 21st, 2020. Right around noon. The first reading is from Psalm 112. Praise the Lord! Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked? The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Indeed, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is November the 21st, 2020. Just a few more days until Thanksgiving. Of course, the governor of the state of Washington, aka the Grinch, has stolen Thanksgiving, not just settled on Christmas, but has decided to steal Thanksgiving as well. And I don't want to get into the politically correct narratives of the truths of this and that. If you want to have a discussion about the enslavement of humanity, what is true now was true 5,000 years ago. Human beings can be very wicked. They can be wicked to each other, they can be wicked to themselves, and yes, they can be wicked to God. The Lord in heaven gave us free will, and one of the outcomes of this free will is we don't always make the right choices. So I think about this governor of ours and the Grinch, and I'd have to say even the Grinch had lines. Even the Grinch chose to just persecute Christmas, which, you know, is pretty terrible. But that's all that he chose to persecute. That's where he drew the line, right? The Grinch that stole Christmas. But what do you say of a Grinch that steals your freedoms, your liberties, your dignity? What do you say of a Grinch that builds his authority on fear and power? What do you say of Governor Inslee, who has erected in himself, an unholy kingdom? I don't know what you say because it is not my place to judge, but I know the Lord is judge. I know the Lord does judge, and I know the Lord will judge. So I say good morning to my brothers and sisters, and I say we should smile and be happy. But I also say that Thanksgiving is coming and we've been told that it's over, that it's canceled. And what do I say in response? Well, a week ago, I said that I'm going to try to organize a service for Christmas Day. That has not changed. The only change is the venue. I spent some time with a friend last weekend, and the process of going through the concerns and the anxiety and the valid questions and confusion, the valid anger with my friend, going through that process kind of shook me a bit. It did. It shook me a bit. It was one of those moments where I said, I am not strong enough to be a good shoulder, Lord. I am not strong enough to be a comforter. What comfort am I? The hobo in Little Saigon. I don't see that. And yet even a miserable hobo like myself, if I attempt to walk in the footsteps of Christ, can in fact be there. And this process, this situation, again, I'm being vague because at this point in human history, I will be vague about many things when it comes to my friends. This process made me think, you know, the perfect place for a Christmas service, not a long one, maybe just 30 minutes, but a perfect place for a Christmas service and a perfect time. The perfect time would be Friday, December the 25th at noon, and the perfect place would be at the Capitol steps in Olympia to celebrate our Lord's birth. I don't know if anyone else will be there. I don't even know how I'll get there. I don't have a car, and riding the bus at this point is just a prelude to riding the bus to whatever camp we end up in. And for the paranoia, you know, for the people who say, well, that's paranoia, I have people I trust who have told me that there are arenas and stadiums being set up in their cities in a fashion that reminds me of the stories that came out of Chile and Argentina back in the 70s and 80s. Back in the 70s and 80s. And you can say, well, Dan, you know, Pinochet, he was just killing socialists and communists, so that's okay. And in Argentina, they were just doing the same kind of thing. But that's actually not the truth. The truth is, they murdered their own sons and daughters because their own sons and daughters turned against them. They lost the faith of their sons and daughters because they lost their faith long before. Their sons and daughters turned on them because they had turned on their children decades before. And in the confusion of not having any moral standing, they decide the only solution left was to kill many of their sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and just make them disappear. Yes, I have word from friends I trust, a few even in law enforcement, if you can believe it, who've told me that stadiums and arenas and various venues are being set up to process people. So if you want to launch an accusation of paranoia, go ahead. It's 2020. If you're not paranoid, you're not awake. So I say, go against the paranoia, go against the fear, go against the fearmonger, Governor Inslee. Join me at noon, Pacific Standard Time. Pacific Standard Time on December the 25th at noon at the Capitol steps. And we'll worship Christ together. And yes, for some that may seem like an act of insurrection. It may seem like a criminal act. For those who believe the lies, it will seem as if we've turned on our neighbors, when in fact our neighbors turned on us a long time ago. We found out something in 2020, something many of us didn't want to believe or even to acknowledge. We found out that our neighborhoods are barren, that our cities are wastelands, that our communities are dying. We found out in 2020 that we can't trust the people walking down the street because they are embodying the lie, and they're doing this out of fear or out of belief. In either case, they're doing this by worshiping the wrong thing. So my announcement is that on Friday the 25th at noon, on the steps of the Capitol steps of Olympia, that we meet together and we worship together and we pray together. And yes, it might be cold. It might even be snowy. Who knows what the weather will be like? But I still say we try. The second reading is from 1 Kings 9, 1 through 9. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, "I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel.' But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, 'Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple?' People will answer, 'Because they have forsaken the Lord, their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Third reading is from Genesis 22, 1 through 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." He replied, "Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, 'Abraham, father?' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham!' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore." Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all the nations on earth will be blessed because you obeyed me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My Lord Jesus Christ, you were tempted by the devil, but you knew him to be a fool. Why are so many blind to this? You ask for our faith, but many reject faith in favor of convenient lies, flattering compliments, and promises of secular utopia. God, you ask for our faith, and it is all you ask, but that burden is heavy now. Before the powers of mankind, the servants of Satan, we must rebuke evil and do so without fear. We must maintain our faith as Daniel did in the lion's den, as Israel did in the desert being led by Moses, and as Abraham was willing to do in service to our Lord. Dark spirits track us. Demons haunt our nights. We are scattered in a land not of our own. We have been driven from our place of peace. Our churches and our communities become desolate, cold, friendless, and hateful. In this long night of the soul, we could so easily forget our Lord. But now is the time we cannot. Through every age, God's people are tested. In every life, our faith is tested. In times of plenty, we are expected to be on guard against evil. In times of famine and plague and fear, we are expected to keep our faith in God. In your name, Jesus Christ, we serve. Amen. Next reading is from Matthew 21, 33 through 45. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. They replied, "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yes, indeed, it is November the 21st. It is November the 21st, 2020. And the service today is about faith, but really the challenge of faith. It's been a challenge for me in recent days and weeks. It's been a challenge for me to be hopeful. It's been a challenge for me to believe in my fellow human being. Even though it's God's place to judge, I have felt anger and I have felt hatred. And I have felt anger and hatred towards people that I do not know. But right now, it seems as if they're representing a great darkness that's destroying people. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, even if you believe the things you've been told about COVID-19, there are people, at-risk people, who have been committing suicide pretty much nonstop. Not the same person, obviously, because you can only do that once. But people have been killing themselves, and we're not supposed to talk about it. We're not supposed to talk about it because if we do talk about it, then we may have to confront the evil. There are people, in my humble opinion, elderly people. I'm going to drink some water because I have some cotton mouth. There are elderly people, grandfathers and grandmothers, who are being murdered. I believe this. I cannot prove it. I do not have the resources to prove it. Even if I had a means to do so, I don't know how I would do it. But I believe through discernment and intuition, I believe that people are being murdered in the name of a lie. Great, great terror is being inflicted on the earth. And when I use the word terror, consider the possibility that the terror being inflicted on the human race right now more than rivals anything Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, or even Pol Pot or Jim Jones could imagine. People are being subjected to terror and lies and deception and fear nonstop. And in addition to all this, people are being killed, probably by the millions. Probably by the millions just in China alone, people are being murdered. And if you can't sense that, if you can't feel it, I don't know what to tell you. There is a point at which you so become disconnected from your humanity that you have no tether to any of the feelings or concerns of other people. For you, they are merely objects. They are merely things. They are merely things for you to take for granted. Recently, a friend of mine had a family member test positive for this COVID-19 plague. And this friend of mine, who I have been talking to about these subjects, was upset and angry, and rightfully so, because this friend is wise and this friend sees through it, sees that it's dishonest. There was a story that Elon Musk took 4 COVID tests. 4 of the expensive ones on the same day. 2 came back positive, 2 came back negative. And I am not a fan of Elon Musk, but I have to say that there's probably truth in this. It might be the truth that gets revealed by the evil ones because they are told this is what they must do per whatever ritual, whatever lesser or greater magic they are responsible for. But I think it is true. I think it is true that this test is flawed. And once you've been tested, and once you've been found wanting, not in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of the state, then what happens to you? What happens to you and the people that love you, the people that are around you? How are you isolated? How are you made to feel like an outcast, like you did something wrong? Yesterday, I went for a walk. Yesterday, I went for a walk and I saw a father with what looked to be a 2, maybe a 3-year-old kid. Both were wearing masks outside. The masks themselves cut off oxygen to the brain. The masks themselves enable child trafficking. I felt anger towards this father, I wondered what kind of a miserable man would profess faith in the demons and the darkness and put his own family at risk. And then all I have to do is crack open the Bible. And I find that this story is not a new story. This story is not new. This story didn't suddenly arrive. The story of parents forsaking their children for some lie, for some deception, is an old story, and it is an old evil, and it goes back to the beginning of time. So in this land right now, we are surrounded by lies and liars. In this land, we are being threatened. Our family members, our brothers, our sisters are being threatened. And in the face of it, it would be so easy to say there is no God, right? Because how could there be a God if such terrible things are allowed to occur? That is the sin, though, isn't it? To stand in judgment on God. When the Lord in heaven gave us such an amazing place to live, this place, the United States of America, when the Lord in heaven provided these resources, and yes, there were crimes. Yes, there were people that were here first. It is true that Thanksgiving has stories behind it that go to the indigenous peoples, and they are different stories, and they're stories of harm. We should recognize all this. We should forget none of it. But why are we blaming God for it? It wasn't God that took Cherokee Indians and marched them on the Trail of Tears. It was not the Lord in heaven that slaughtered Native Americans a little over 120 years ago at one of the last great slaughters. I believe Wounded Knee, but I could be wrong. But it happened almost at the dawn of the last century, the century of modernity, the century of civilization. Right at the dawn of that century, the United States of America had become expert not just at murdering indigenous people, but at rounding them up and putting them on reservations. So yes, there is a greater truth to Thanksgiving. And if you don't like Thanksgiving for those reasons, I'd understand. But why would you deny family to get together? Why would you do that? What is the purpose in that? And above all else, I say again, why would you blame God for any of it? This was not God. This wasn't even the devil. The devil is too stupid to do this himself. This wasn't even Satan. This was mankind. This was mankind listening to the devil. This was mankind choosing the easier path, just like today. Just like thousands of years ago, it's not a new story. It is one of the most ancient stories. Mankind turns on itself and on its neighbors. Mankind turns its land and its communities into dust and deserts. And then the throng of humanity blames God. And where in this is the responsibility that we're supposed to have? So this is a night of darkness, a night that seems like it will never end. But it is not a night without light. It is not a darkness without a candle. When the Lord in heaven left us, he left us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can light up any room. Yes, it's figurative in a sense. But in the sense of charity and love and peace, the Holy Spirit is the most powerful form of defense we have against the darkness. Against the loss of faith. But that's the trick too, isn't it? It's not possible to have the Holy Spirit inside of you unless you have faith. It really isn't. God can save those without faith, but the Holy Spirit is something you let into your heart. You say, Jesus Christ, let the Holy Spirit into my heart. Let me be guided by the Holy Spirit. Throughout history, God does get angry. God does punish his children. But he never abandons us. God tests us just like he tested Abraham. Can you imagine the loneliness of being Abraham? Can you imagine the loneliness of being, in many ways, the trunk of the tree of God's people? And then God says, take the one leaf you have on the one limb on the one tree and cut it down. Abraham had one child that was his own. You know, basically, you know, his own with his wife Sarah, and that was Isaac. And God was saying, take Isaac to the hill and build an altar and kill your only son. And yet, even in that, even at that moment where any other ancient god would have said, go ahead with it, as a matter of test, Satan certainly would have whispered, keep going. God stopped because God knew and understood what it was. God understood what Abraham had done, and he, Abraham, was not abandoned. We are living in a maze of evil. We are surrounded by people telling us to believe things that are nonsense and dangerous. We have, in so many ways, as a people, turned away from God, and yet we are not abandoned. We're not. In the near future, there are many things you won't be able to protect. They will try to steal the things from you. They will try to steal everything. Even the things that have no value to them, for the simple fact that those things have value to you, whatever stuff that is. All these things that wither away and will wither away can be taken. Your land can be taken. Your children can be abducted. This is something that happens in this country all the time. You can be surrounded in a community and feel as if on every side there is evil screaming into your home, bring us everything you have, bring us yourselves, let us turn you into us. As Lot lived his life with his family those days before the destruction of Sodom. The faithful in Christ will be torn from their families and persecuted. The faithful in Christ will see their loved ones attacked and destroyed. And in all of this, we are not abandoned. The greatest glory of Christ is in the body of his church. And when we choose to look out for each other, this is where it gets powerful, my friends. When we choose to look out for each other, when we choose to, instead of blame God for the terrible decisions we make, we try to seek redemption. And then we try to do more than that. We try to fix the harm we've caused. When we do this, we are the proof that we are not abandoned. We are not left alone in the darkness. We are not left with a knife in our hand to slaughter our children, because that is not what God wants. The devil probably wanted that young father to walk his kid down the street with a mask on, a muzzle on. God didn't want that. The devil did. People threatened him with fear, and he let the fear into his heart. But God didn't want that. If we don't abandon each other, if instead we turn towards each other in the Lord's name, if instead we defend our neighbors, if we do exactly what Solzhenitsyn admonished his brethren and wished they had done, that during the great attacks and purges in Moscow and Leningrad back in the 30s, Solzhenitsyn said, what would have happened if we had simply brought our axe handles and our broom handles and whatever weapons we had and fought back the secret police? What if instead of cowering in our apartments, we had been there for our neighbors? What if we had not abandoned our neighbors? That's a big question, isn't it? Because it's a tough one. It's a tough one because it means putting yourself at risk. But what are you really risking if you're a Christian? What precisely are you putting at risk? The body? The body is a rental property. You might get it for a few years. You might get it for 50 years. You might live to be 100. And it's still just a rental property, and it will go away. The stuff you have? Well, the stuff you have too is made of the same kinds of things, and it will wither and turn to dust. If you recognize what is most important, your everlasting soul, the everlasting soul of the people you care for, what is the risk in looking out for your neighbor? What is the risk in being there for those that will be persecuted? Because we are getting close to that time. In fact, I shouldn't even say that. I think it's already happening. I would say that 2020 is probably one of the biggest setbacks in terms of the body of Christ on earth. I don't mean the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is God, and the Lord Jesus is intact, and the Lord Jesus has a plan. But with respect to this temporal realm, the church on earth, this has been a bad year for the church on earth. And when I say the church, I don't mean specifically the Catholic Church or any Protestant denomination. I mean the holy body of Christ that has faith in Christ and seeks to live the kingdom life according to his teachings. That is the church. And when we join together in worship, that is especially the church. So maybe before I lose my faith and shake my fist at God, maybe before we get angry and blame God for our situation, we should look at ourselves in the mirror and ask a simple question. Have we abandoned God? Have we abandoned our neighbors? I would like to have a moment to meditate on all of us, all of those of us in the body of Christ who currently feel as if our faith is being tested. And I'll admit, I am one of those. My faith has become weak and brittle in recent weeks. At times, I asked questions I thought I would never ask again. At times, I felt great anger. But my own good news is I never felt the anger at God. I felt the anger towards the people that were responsible, which included me. And that anger had to turn to something. So for me, it is the question of what can I do? At this point in time, I'm still not sure. I don't know if any of us are that sure. But let us meditate for a moment on this issue of faith, and let us hope and pray in silence that those of our brothers and sisters who are being tested pass the test. Because it is not easy to keep your faith in a land that has abandoned God. It is not easy to keep your faith when you feel as if you're an exile in Babylon, an exile sent away to foreign lands to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be enslaved. But we have to keep our faith, and we should pray that the Holy Spirit helps all of our brothers and sisters in this pursuit. So let us have a moment of silence for our brothers and sisters who are struggling with faith today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in God, I am going to be, barring some event, I don't know. You know, it's funny, the Bible says, let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes. Here's my yes. Unless I cannot do it, for some reason, I am going to be at the Capitol steps at noon on December the 25th, Friday, December the 25th. I will do my best to facilitate some prayer and some worship in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have any resources. I can't tell you where the bathrooms are. And I gotta say, if you're still stuck on the question of, are there bathrooms? Then you really need to ask yourself, you know, who or what you are worshiping. I'm not saying we don't need to use the bathroom. That's not my point. But I don't have those resources. All I can tell you is I'll be there. I will have whatever warm clothing I have. I will have a Bible, and I will have the goodness in my heart and my love for my brothers and sisters and my neighbors and my community. And I will take my anger and my hatred that I have felt in recent weeks towards the human race, and I will do something that's really hard for me, but I must do, because this is my testament of faith. I will turn it into love. It's not an easy thing to do, really. But we have to. Because the path of destruction, the path of dehumanization, the path of turning our neighbors into prisoners, even if you didn't have faith in God, it would have to be apparent to you it is an evil path. But the means by which we stop this isn't going to be hate, it's going to be love. And I'm not telling you to be a pacifist in the sense of don't fight back, because that's also not what I'm saying. I don't think there's any evidence that Christ would say, don't fight back. You know, I think there's plenty of evidence that Christ, and definitely Christ's apostles, carried swords when they needed to. And there may be a time when you're going to need to defend the things you love and care about, not because of stuff, but because of God. But that time might not be yet. What I would say is this: if sometime in the coming weeks an ambulance and a Humvee shows up at your neighbor's house and goes up to their door, do your neighbor a favor. Do your soul a favor and go outside and ask those people, those representatives, ask the centurion. Ask him why he is there. That is the first step. Be there for your neighbors. Do not let them be taken away in the night. Do not abandon yourself. Do not abandon your neighbors, and at this time in the world, do not abandon God. God bless all of you. May you have a wonderful week. May you be with family on Thanksgiving, despite the lies, despite the disgusting, terrible lies. May you be with family and have food and drink and joy and love, because this is exactly how we worship God. More than just prayer, more than just worship together, we worship God by defying evil. We worship God by having the courage to love. So God bless all of you. And in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ, we serve. Amen.